Well, good morning to you all. God bless you this morning for the singing, and thank you, brothers, for the words that you've brought. Brother Jonathan, I felt like I started something here that is no way complete, and yet Jonathan just God used Jonathan this morning to kind of set stage of where I want to go. And so may God continue to minister to us here today. Could we all stand for a word of prayer? Now, Father, this morning we are thankful again for who you are. We're thankful this morning that we have your word in written form, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, this morning that it was shared in clarity and in truth and has not been watered down. And we're thankful, Lord, this morning that you continue to raise the standard in our life of holiness and honesty and righteousness. And Lord, that we together can walk and be a representative of who you want us to be, of your church, Lord. We want your will to be done. So, Father, this morning, now the words that I speak, Lord, I realize that I have wrote thoughts down. I realize that some of these things are my own thinking, and yet we pray that you would use them for the glory and honor of who you are. I don't want to touch your glory, Lord. I want you to be lifted up and exalted today. So, Father, be with us. May your Spirit come and quicken these words for your glory. We bless you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, some of the thoughts that have been going through my mind is the church. What is the purpose for the church? What is God's design? What is God's reason? What is God's desire for His church? I'm going to read the 1 Corinthians 12, and then I'm going to move on and then come back to this. But first of all, I want to read 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not of an eye, not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again to the head, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which ye think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. Our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, the members in particular. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of the miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, one of the burdens that I have this morning is, I think there's, I forget what Jonathan said, there's things that split the church, but I think there's two things that a lot of times split a church. One is direction. People want to go different directions. And I feel another one is jealousy. What I mean by jealousy is they're not satisfied with the gift that God has given them, and they're jealous of their brother's gift. And so God has placed every one of us, members in particular, he says, for his body, for his glory. There's three. So I want to take some time today and look at God's church, what his plan is, and the beauty and the glory that the church should be or could be. And there's three main points I would like to look at. And Jonathan somewhat covered the first one. What is God's plan for the church is something that keeps coming to my mind. Why did God design the church? What is the purpose and the calling of the church today? Before we get into the first point, depending, you know, who you ask, you could come up with a lot of different answers. Why the church? What is the purpose for us today? Why is the reason that God has called us together? Some might say it's, if you ask them what is a church, they might think it's a building. Some might say it's to reach out to the lost. Others might say it's to show the world what the world would look like if everyone would obey Christ. Well, there's a lot of good answers we could give, and many of them are right. But what is the reason for the church? The first point I'd like to look at is the power of God. In 1 Peter 2, I'm going to read verses 9 to 12. And I think that this is part of the reason. It's not, and I won't be able to share the whole reason for what all God's purpose and reason is for the church, but I'd just like to touch on a few points. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from all flesh, Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they should behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now we all have many friends in the past that probably no longer would tell you that you are, they probably wouldn't say that you're their friend or their best friend anymore. You've made a change in your life. Something has happened in your life. And what God wants to do is, in times past, you were alienated from His goodness. You were lost as lost can be. But God came and He saved us. We submitted ourselves to Him. We were sinners bound for hell without hope, but now living in victory. Completely changed, transformed, struggling for years with some sins, and now set free by the power of God. And that is one of the reasons that God has a church, is so the world can see what He wants for everyone. And because of that, we show forth our praise to Him, which means that we, when it says to show forth our praise, it's not just coming together and singing praises. It's talking about what God has done in our lives. Is that what we're doing? You know, some of us, we used to talk about horses. That's all we knew about. Some of it was about trucks. Others, it was about hunting. Some of it was about our work. We all had things that possessed us and drove us. But now, God changed us. Is He the one that we speak about today? Is He the one that we are talking about? Or what is coming from our mouth? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The power of God. Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away that stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you a heart of flesh. A new heart and a new spirit. Isn't that amazing? The power of God. And that's what He wants to show the world through us as a congregation, as a church. That's what He wants to show the world. He wants to show forth His power through a changed life. The world has programs to help the alcoholic quit drinking. Pills for the angry man to not get out of control. Prisons for the abusers, but nothing to change the heart. No victory. Only God can do that. Only God has the transforming power to give us victory. The second thing I'd like to look at is living together in unity. The second point under the first heading is the world wonders on how when God takes a rebellious Amish man, an apostolic man that has lost his way, a Nazarene man that is looking for help, an Amish drunk, a religious apostolic, a just plain heathen, a religious Amish, and a Pentecostal, and who knows what all else, and takes him and makes them all one. And somehow they live together in unity. Can you think of something more beautiful than that? And they work together, and they love each other. The world looks on in amazement. How can this be? Again, it's the power of God. Psalm 133 verse 1, it says, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's God's heart. Ephesians 4, verse 3 to 8, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, even as we are called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Endeavoring to keeping the unity of the Spirit. Endeavoring to keep unity one with another. And I just think it fit in very beautifully with what Brother Jonathan said about words of strife. This wasn't going to be one of my main points. So Jonathan covered a lot of that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 to 17, he gives another illustration of how we should be dwelling together. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, and is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and longsuffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called into one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That is a beautiful, beautiful passage of men, women, brothers and sisters dwelling together in unity. And the world longs to see that. Even though they might not be a part of it, they still like to see it. And it's God's glory. It's God's glory. 1 Peter 5, verse 5, it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. To the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You know, if our actions don't show forth the gospel, like Brother Jonathan was sharing, if our actions don't show forth the gospel, our words are no good. When we preach the gospel, the world doesn't just need to hear, they want to see God's plan, the purpose of the church. Now, there is the need to preach the gospel, and that is another point I want to bring out, is the purpose of the church. One of the reasons that God has a church is to reach out to the lost. 2 Peter 3, 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. It's not God's heart that any man perishes. And if you and I don't tell them, who will? Who will tell the lost if the church doesn't? In Acts 1, verse 8, it says, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come unto you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and all Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And if you look on the map, Jerusalem is a town in the region of Judea, and Samaria is on a little further, and then he says to the uttermost parts of the world. But it has to start in our hometown. It has to start where we are. But it can't stop. It can't stop there. It has to go on into Judea, and it has to go on into Samaria, and it has to go on into the uttermost parts of the world. It has to do that. That is the church's calling. Matthew tells us to go into every nation. Mark tells us to preach to every creature. Our calling and God's purpose is beyond our ability. It's greater than what we are. But God can help us. Through Christ, it is possible. You know, we set up and give CDs away in Byrne and Bluffton and Fort Wayne. And sometimes people wonder why. What's the catch here? There's a catch here. But God has given us a calling that we need to preach the gospel. Some of them won't listen to you as you preach, and so they'll take a CD. You go to a prison. Why are you here? You know, if I'm there because he's a lost soul, that is a good reason. But if I'm not there because I love Christ, and Christ died for him, and I'm there for Christ, and for the sake of Christ, I've missed the point as well. Christ deserves every man that you see. And every man that you see deserves to hear about Christ. So why do we go? It's not God's heart that any should perish. And if you don't tell them, who will? The Jehovah Witnesses? God deserves them. Christ paid the debt for their sin on the cross. And most of the world will go to hell, never knowing. Have we started in our Jerusalem? You know, it's not just a good idea, but it's a commandment that God has given to the church to share the gospel. Now, there were three things that we looked at: the power of God, living in unity, and preaching the gospel. They're all showing the world through a transformed life. The next thing I'd like to look at is the church and how it should function. I felt like I needed to share part of the first to come to the second here. We read in Corinthians how we are one body and many members. And how does the body work? You know, that everything that happens, we don't move anything without the head not processing that information and making movement. So if Christ is not our head, as a church, we're useless. Christ has to be our head. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18, and he, Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So Christ, if Christ is not the head of a local congregation, that congregation is a dead thing. We'll just be going through motions. He is where we get our direction. You could say he is the computer of the body. He is the one that sends out the signals. He's the one that we get our direction from. He is the one that makes every member what he wants it to be. I'd like to turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and look at a few things there again. I'm going to read from verse 12 to the end. We're going to look at some words. For as the body is one and hath many members, all members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For the comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, the members in particular. And God has set in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing and helps and governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all gifts of healing? Do you all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? So here we have him showing us that we are all members. We're not all a hand. We're not all a foot. We're not all a finger. But God has placed in his body of believers and given us gifts as he wishes and as it pleases him. And a lot of times there becomes jealousy when we might be that member that don't get noticed so much. But yet that member is just as important. Just as important as the next. We are all equally important to Christ and his body. God did not give everyone the same gift. The hand wants to be the foot, and the foot wants to be a hand. And so on it goes. God wants you to be you, in subjection to the rest of the body, so they can get direction from the head. You know, if I'm a little toe and I just want to do what I want to do, what good is that little toe? If I cut myself off from the rest of the body, thinking I don't need the rest of the body, what good is that little toe? And yet it's there to bring balance to the church. That little toe is very important to God. You're not a toe that is just connected to your head. But it has to be in subject to the body. It doesn't mean that you can't get direct answers from God, but it will be through the body as well. I mean, somehow that all flows together. What happens if you have four members or four toes wanting to go four different ways? It's a mess. God's heart is and desire is that we all walk together in unity. God's desire for the church is that we are all one. When you see someone, take a young child, walking or running down somewhere, and you just watch a little bit, and everything is just perfect, everything is just working together. Isn't it a beautiful thing what God has made? Isn't it a beautiful thing? And it should be a picture of what God wants for the church. You know, a child is running and he comes running and there's a hole there. The head says, watch out, there's a hole there. You'll fall and trip. And it takes that notice and it either goes around it or stops or is careful. And that is how it is with the church. As we go, the body is all going together and the head says, whoa, there's danger ahead. And we all take heed. What a beautiful thing. But many times, we're like the cripple. The body doesn't function right. And we live in an area where there's a lot of cripples. We see a lot of cripples all the time, don't we? And I'm not looking down on cripples. God has created them. But the picture for the church that God wants us to look at is that as a young boy or young girl, health, energy, and is just lively, that is what God wants His church to look at. Not unruly, but... So what happens when your leg gets hurt? There's other members of your body that are right there to help. And that is the way it should be in our church. If someone is hurt, we should be there to help one another. Maybe you're wondering what kind of member you are. Maybe you don't know what you are. Maybe you're wondering what shall I do? Others can do it better. Don't worry about what member you are. Find little things to bless others and allow that talent God has given you to grow. You know, God has given us all a talent, has given us all a gift. If we're going to hide it, if we're going to not use it, God will find another. So what God has given you, use it. So God, in these verses that we just read, He doesn't say how He sets up the church with elders and deacons and so on. And yet it is woven in these passages that we just read. First, it is God's heart. It is God's desire for elders and deacons and whatever else gifts that are here. You know, Paul told Titus in chapter 1, verse 5 in Titus, he says, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. In other words, there's things that were lacking and Titus was to organize these things. And then it says, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. That's a beautiful thing. You know, it doesn't just happen. Things don't just happen. If you don't have somebody giving order, it's just chaotic, isn't it? But when there's order in the church, elders are set up, deacons are set up, members are being members of one another, caring for one another, what a glorious thing. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing that God has created. So God's heart is that there's leadership in every church, someone to give direction and feed and protect the flock. Some of the gifts that we want to, or some of the things that are here, he talks about apostles. It says an apostle is a representative or a messenger, someone who looks out for the rest. That sounds like leadership. Prophets. Strong says one who speaks inspired utterances, an interpretation of God's will to man. He doesn't just foretell the future, but shares what God's heart is for His people today. That's a prophet. And we need them. Teachers is an instructor. You know, out of the 58 times that it's used in the New Testament, this Greek word, 47 times it's used as master. And it's used in Luke 22 verse 11, and you shall say unto the good man of the house, the master, Jesus Christ, saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And so we have Christ as the teacher or as their leader, and His disciples followed Him. That's the picture that it gives with this word teacher. Or it also could give the picture of a teacher in a schoolhouse where He brings order, he instructs, and it's in, and there's order there. That's the picture that it gives. The students follow their teacher. Then it goes on and says miracles. And the word miracles means power, ability, ruler, an organizer. Gifts of healing. Gracious, it says, it said in the Strong's, gracious gift, benefit, credit. Healing is just meant cure. And I think that probably in America we don't see that gift as evident because we can pretty freely run to the doctors we need. But I think that that gift is still, in a lot of countries, is just as important as these others. Gifts of healing. And it is not connected to witchcraft, sorcery, or divining, or any of that kind of thing. Helps. Ability to aid. And I think there's many kinds of helps. You know, I think of just amongst us in a physical sense. You know, if I have an electrical problem, I probably won't call Brother Danny to see what I need to do. And if I want to know something about hogs, I probably won't call Brother Joe. God has given different abilities within the church that we can all function together. That's in the physical, but it works in the spiritual. That's the very same way. We have helps. We have many different kind of helps right amongst us here. And God wants us to use them to edify one another, to build up the church. I think we get the picture. God has done it, has given us a beautiful thing when He's put all these members in order. Governments, again, it means an organizer or administration. Have you ever been somewhere where people come together for a common cause of doing something, and you wonder when you get there, well, who's in charge here? What should I be doing? This guy over here, he's kind of doing his thing, and this guy over here is kind of doing his thing. And really nothing is getting done because there's nobody really in charge. Nobody's really organizing anything. And so it just becomes a chaotic mess. People get frustrated and people leave. And that's also a picture of what the church is if there's no organization, if there's no administration, if there's no expectations, if there's no, you name it, it's just a chaotic mess. So God has placed within the church those things to bring order. God is a God of order. And then it says diverse kinds of tongues, and it just means different languages. Romans, I'm going to read a few verses in Romans 12. He also gives some things here about the body. I'm going to start in verse 1 and read to 13. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye prove that which is what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto you, to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we are many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Now to me, it's very interesting that these three verses before that are talking about giving our bodies as a living sacrifice. Not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought. And then he goes right into, we're many members of one body. I think it's tied together very. Many times we hear messages on these first three verses, and they're actually talking about the body. and how we should give ourselves for the body. So we being many are one body in Christ, everyone member of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And again, the beautiful gifts that God has given. Talks again about teaching, about ministry, about prophecy. Then he also says about exhorting one another. And there's brothers that have that gift. We need that. We need them gifts. And we need you to practice and use them gifts. It makes the body more beautiful. We don't need to be jealous of one another, wishing for the next brother's gift. But use that which God has given you for His glory. And ultimately, the third point is God's glory and beauty. In Ephesians 5, verse 27, that He, Christ, might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. And I think that as if we put the other two points together and make this third point, is what God makes it a beautiful thing. People, we talked about transformed lives and the beauty of it. We talked about bringing men and women from all walks of life, and they live together in unity and harmony and peace. We talked about showing, not just showing with our lives, but also preaching. And we shared how Christ is the head of the church, and we are His members, all functioning together. And that is what makes the beautiful bride of Christ, a glorious bride of Christ. I've wrote some things down here. I'm just going to read it. It says, now those of us that are born again, God has done a beautiful work in our lives. Some of our homes had a lot of contention, some abuse of different things. But now, from many walks of life, God has brought us together. Now this member has a need, and we come together and we meet that need. Just trying to paint a picture of what Christ would like from the church. Someone is sick. Others are there to help. Someone gets stranded along the road. Someone comes and helps, willingly, not grudgingly. Someone is struggling with sin. Another is there to help him overcome. Someone is discouraged. Someone else comes and encourages him. Someone is struggling financially. Another comes and blesses him with what he needs. Someone is sick and in bed. Others come and bring a meal and visit. A neighbor is in need. The church helps out. The widow down the road is lonely. Someone goes and sings for her. By the way, don't think that the world don't see this. The world would like to be a part of such a thing, but the cost is very great. You have to give everything. Someone is out preaching or sharing with the lost. Others are discipling those that get saved. Someone is looking out, seeing where the outreach could be started. Another has called to help where a church is struggling with direction, helping them find their way. Everyone is getting direction from the head, Jesus Christ, and yet we are dependent upon each other. We are the bride of Christ. A bride on her wedding day in modest, clean apparel, what is more beautiful? And say she should come to her wedding day. What would it look like if she would come on her wedding day and her dress would be full of spots and all wrinkled up? We would kind of be at all, wouldn't we? Somehow that day, it's just meant to be that bride is spot-free and wrinkle-free. What would happen? I have a feeling if it would happen here that the sisters would get together and it would look like a beehive. They would clean that dress up and they would make that thing look nice. And by the end of the day, you would never know. And yet, what if some, may that be our heart when someone falls in sin. Come together, help them out of that mire. One brother's organizing one thing, others are helping. Another looks after this, and others are helping. We all need each other, but we don't all have the same gift. The church, if it is doing what God has designed for it to do, will be the most beautiful thing that we will ever see, besides Christ Himself. Don't worry about your brother. Don't envy your brother's gift. Use what God has given you. It doesn't mean that He can't give you multiple gifts. But He can't give you multiple gifts if you're not willing to use the ones that He has already given you. We just came from seeing some of God's beautiful and wonderful creation. Absolute beauty. I think some of the place that we saw, there's a lake here, and there's mountains on either side, and there's snow on the mountains. And the birds are singing, and it's just beautiful. Quiet, peaceful. How could the church be more beautiful than that? You know, God's creation, His physical creation, brings Him glory, and it doesn't have a choice but to bring Him glory. The church, what makes it more beautiful is it has a choice. And if we choose to give ourselves, being members subject one to another, helping one another and serving one another, preaching the gospel, what is more beautiful? Creation doesn't have a choice, but we have a choice. So may God help us that the church to bring that, to be that beautiful picture that He gives in many of the passages that we read, dwelling together in unity, loving one another, forbearing one another, exhorting one another. May we be encouraged and do that one for another. We need that. We all need that. Let's not be jealous of one another's gifts. Let's use the one that God has given us. God bless you. Thank you.